Hey, I'm Waylon.
And I'm Allie. Welcome back to the Entrepreneurs Podcast, the podcast for and by female entrepreneurs, hosted by the Entrepreneurs Network, the most acclaimed female entrepreneurship network in the world. Each week, we bring to you stories of female entrepreneurs around the world as we kickstart our own entrepreneurial journeys together.
Today, we are delighted to have on Puno, founder and edutainer at I Love Creatives, a one-step portal for creative slashies. She is also the powerful voice and host behind Girl Boss Radio, a podcast that redefines success through interviews with different girl bosses. She is the founder of Made with Map, a community of discerning travel influencers that are traveling and searching the globe for unique experiences, as well as the co-founder of People Map, an Instagram marketing tool that you can strategically grow, find, and track your community.
Join us as we talk with Puno about motivating yourself to learn, being confident, and redefining failure.
Hello and welcome to the Entrepreneurs Podcast, the podcast for and by female college entrepreneurs. Today we are incredibly lucky and honored to have on Puno. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So like all our guests, we would love to start off by asking you, what is something that excites you when you wake up in the morning?
I usually have to use the bathroom, so... But actually, it's been this weird thing where Mwadib and I have this moment where I'm like sitting on the toilet. This might be too much information, but I'm sitting on the toilet and then Mwadib like comes up to me and wants to be picked up. And then I just hold her while I'm doing my dealio. And then she just is like purring hard. And ever since I started doing that, it's just every morning she's just like, meow. And then, yeah, and it's just our moment.
Once it becomes a habit, I feel that my dog back at home, I have a little poodle. And once I let her like sit on my lap for 8 hours while I was studying, it was over. Every day she's like pawing at me, like, please let me up.
Oh, she's like, it's warm up there. Get me up there, man.
Well, Puno is the founder and edutainer at I Love Creatives, a one-step portal for creative slashies, the powerful voice and host behind Girl Boss Radio. But to understand where you are now, we'd love to go all the way back to where it began. Where did your entrepreneurial journey begin?
I think it was in college. I wasn't very stoked about my degree. I was in marketing, and at that time, the internet, I mean, this is like 2006. So iPhone didn't exist yet. And yeah, I know that's a time. and that at that time, web apps didn't really exist. It was like starting. And I thought, man, that'd be really cool to like build something like that. So a little bit out of desperation, I kind of was like, maybe I can make this work. And so I was talking to my roommate. He was in advertising and he was having a hard time finding a job because it was so, you know, face-to-face, like you have to go fly to Chicago, New York, Miami, wherever the big ad agencies are and attend these portfolio reviews. And it was just really hard to get your like work out there. So I was thinking like, what if we put your portfolio online and then I could like get a bunch of professors, creative directors, and they could like take a look at your portfolio. So, you know, UX design didn't really exist at that time. It was kind of called like information architecture, but I didn't know really what I was doing. So I literally just like figured out Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop and just mocked up my idea. And then went on Craigslist and just found an IBM developer that was like down to do something, and he got his friends and then they built it, which is crazy. And so at that point I'm like, okay, I have to go now sell this thing. So I booked tickets to go to all these different cities. And then I tried to like convince all these creative directors. At first I was like pulling one on them too, because they were expecting me to give them a portfolio, but I was like opening up my Toshiba laptop and showing them this app that I had. And I was like, would you like to be the first user of this app? So they weren't really stoked on what I was doing. And then I got to the point where nobody was like getting what I was trying to do. I actually ended up getting a freelance gig because of it. Because one of the creative directors was just like, this is nuts. Like, he's like, you built this? And then actually one of the creative directors that I had sent it to in Dallas, Texas, was like, this is really interesting. Can you come in for a potential job interview as a junior interactive art director? And I didn't even know what that was. Actually, he didn't even say art director. He just said, do you want to potentially work here? And like, let's do this job interview. So yeah, I mean, that was like the beginning of it. I ended up getting that job with the guy in Dallas because I just did not want to move back home. And I think at that point, I was not really sure about the business side of it, about how it would actually sustain itself. And I think, you know, just in general, like was losing momentum. So I ended up like working in advertising for a good amount of time. 2008 recession happened, ended up getting laid off, started doing freelancing, and then ended up going into user experience design. And I started working in the video game industry. So I worked at Activision and Call of Duty for like a couple of years. And then got really burnt out because the video game
industry. Yeah.
It was so fun though. I got to work and build a team and work with my friends essentially and play video games. And and it was really cool to like build a community and like build tools for a community to like have an ecosystem. Yeah, for sure. And so
what is the video game industry like? I don't think we've had a guest in that industry before. I'd love to hear your experience about that.
I mean, it's kind of exactly what you think it would be. It's just a bunch of guys mostly. And although I never like felt, I was in a director position as a woman. So I just, everybody's always trying to pigeonhole me as like, oh, you're a woman in tech or you're a woman in video gaming, but it never felt that way. Sure. I think I was just fortunate enough that the people that I worked with, the leadership that I worked with didn't like, they weren't misogynist. So I don't know. I didn't have that experience. But I know, you know, that's not the case for everyone. But I think the other thing too is that I was working on the publishing side of Activision. So it is a beast. Like this is a franchise that has 20 million gamers on it.
Damn.
So, you know, you're pumping out a game once a year when you work on the publishing side. So like days for me were like 14, 16 hour days. Wow. And then definitely weekends, which I would be okay with it because I love working hard, but you know, like when you have a lot of office politics, when you're kind of working on stuff that you're not seeing a lot of momentum with, it just gets really painful. And I think there was like a point too where my direct boss and I just didn't see eye to eye, and he didn't really like necessarily how I approached things, and he didn't really understand my vision for what I wanted to build. So there's just no place for me at that point. So I ended up leaving, and then my husband and I built a travel app that we were just like, let's just do this. We didn't really know what we were doing again. But yeah, that was kind of like the rah-rah-rah journey into that world.
That is amazing. I love how there's so many distinctive focal points where you continue to learn. So although you went from travel app and you were in gaming and you were in marketing, it seems that continued through your journey, you always were learning. You were always self-taught. You never said, oh, I needed a big fancy degree in some sort. I needed to do this. You said, hey, I need to learn Adobe. I'm going to learn online. I think that's so, so, so awesome. Lots of people know right now that you can honestly learn everything from YouTube. You can learn everything from podcasts, but to actually apply that is another story. So what advice or what's your mentality that you've adopted that you would like to share with others for someone who's like, I want to learn this, but me actually doing it myself, really?
I mean, I think if you don't have a project to work on, it's really hard for you to really apply something. Like if you're just kind of mindlessly following tutorials, you're not really applying the thing that you're learning into something that can grow into an opportunity. But I mean, there's a lot of like ways of just learning. Like you can just totally learn. But I think that what kind of got me in the door or made it easier for me to like jump into new small businesses was that there was this like idea that I could build on. And it's so much easier to talk about ideas that you're working on or projects that you're working on versus like, oh yeah, this is a tutorial that I'm watching.
Yeah.
Like, I feel that. Like one of my big summer goals was like, I'm going to learn Adobe Illustrator. And I have had that on my to-do list for like 6 weeks now. And I just can't seem to pick it up because I don't really know where to start because there's no project I have surrounded around it.
Yeah.
So I definitely resonate with not really having a project and then being project oriented for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's where online education is kind of helping, if you will, and like filling the gaps that universities can't necessarily always keep up with. And it's like, if you want to learn Illustrator and you're finding that the YouTube searching isn't helping, then, you know, going that next step of taking a course or finding someone that you can learn from is probably the better next step, you know, just so you can get it done and it'll just stop nagging you in the back of your mind. Because I think that's the other thing too, is in a way, I'm a little relentless about finishing projects. Mm. And I don't think that people, I guess, like give completion enough like respect. Because
it's better done than perfect.
Yeah. And it's just a skill that you need to get used to doing. And it's like, it's really just you figuring out how you work and how you can finish things.
Absolutely. So what advice would you have for someone who's like, I want to do this project, but it needs to be perfect. I can't put a video out on YouTube. I can't start this business unless it's perfect. What would you say to someone like that?
Not to be harsh, but like not that many people are paying attention. So it's fine.
No one really cares. Like, everyone's too worried about themselves.
Yeah. Like, I think that if that person really cares and is like going to be an asshole, like whatever, you know, that person has their own issues, but I don't think they've ever done anything that got so many views or so many, like, you know, that so many people were looking at it that I had any reason to be that self-conscious about it. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. I guess just give yourself a break, you know?
I feel like I definitely needed to hear that. Today we actually finished editing most of our podcasts for season one, which is super exciting. Yeah. And oh man, when I edit, I feel like I have to get everything perfect because I'm like, oh, our listeners are going to hear every mistake that we make. But actually, it's like, it's okay if we make mistakes. People are pretty understanding. And I think just reminding myself.
Okay. So there's a difference though, right? Like mm-hmm. if you're like, I want to edit this and I know what else I need to do. It's not there yet, but I have an idea. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. If you're like not learning Illustrator because you're just like, I don't want to not be good. That doesn't make sense. You know, like you need to learn how to just learn. But I don't know. I have been in so many situations where I've edited something and it just sounds better. And it's just better for your, you know, for the listener.
100%. Yeah.
At the same time, like editing podcasts, for example, you can have the same raw tape and I could edit it and then you can edit it and it will feel different. So mm-hmm. I think that like spending that time to fine tune what your style is, how short these cuts are, what things that you don't think are necessary, that is establishing your taste. And to me, that's worthwhile. And I don't necessarily know if that's always perfectionism, you know, if you miss your deadline, then it's more or less you understanding like, oh, well, I overestimated or underestimated how long it was going to take me. And so next time I need to at least give myself an extra day or whatever to do it, which, you know, is totally fine. But I mean, I'm that person who's editing it over and over and over again until, you know, right before I have to post it. Cause I'm just like, I got some more ideas though. I want to just see if this is going to work. Absolutely. That's the fun part. Like,
yeah, for sure. I think there's definitely a balance because I think the first week we took on this project, I was definitely more of the person who was like, I edited our first podcast so many times, where to the point where it was like, I could not listen to it anymore. I kept finding new changes and new changes and new changes. And I definitely think there's a balance between like editing it so that it like becomes better, but also editing it to a point where like you have to stop and say like, this is enough, this is okay. And like, just be ready to post that for sure.
What are you editing in?
I use Adobe Audition to edit.
One hack is use this tool called Descript.
Yeah.
It's such a game changer.
Yeah. Okay.
Because basically you're editing through transcription. So it automatically transcribes your audio. And then let's say you said in less than 1 week, and then you're like, I'm going to cut out, like you literally delete the words in less, and then it edits the audio. And then it just says then 1 week.
No way.
It's a couple weeks of like our life.
And then you can export that to Audition as an XM, whatever the project file is for Audition. Yeah. As a session, I think. It has all the edits there already.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you. Oh my goodness. Okay. We'll definitely
magical.
I actually really like this conversation that you guys are having between keeping it super authentic and real and raw in conversations, the editing, but also super editing. I think that's a conversation that's happening more and more in social media. I think a couple of years ago, everyone's like, I'm so sick of seeing these perfect looking people on Instagram. That's not their life. I want to see quirky stuff. I want to see real life. And I think that's really why TikTok took off. And I think you at Girl Boss, I Love Creatives, I think you do a wonderful, wonderful job of that. So I'd love to kind of hear your perspective, your mentality when it comes to being more authentic, but also keeping it professional when it comes to digital media and marketing.
Keeping it professional. What do you mean by keeping it professional?
Keeping it professional. Yeah, it's casual, of course, but you're still putting out quality content. It's still something people can gain value from in some way. It can be entertainment. It can be something you're learning, but it's still something that is furthering your message, furthering your mission, whatever that may be.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, you just have to put that lens on every single time that you're concepting something. So just a little BTS about how we do it in I Love Creatives. Every week we have like a pitch session for our social, and we've got like three or four people on the team, and each person pitches an idea. And so, you know, before we even get to like, what is the design of it? It's really more about like, what's the takeaway or what is the universal truth? So
yeah.
Like, what's the like, like that's a head nod. Like, no matter what, yeah, that's true. It, like, what's an example? We were talking about posting is hard on Instagram. That was like an example. But like, that's not, it's like, yeah, okay, sure. Posting's hard. There's no real insight there. There's no real head nod. There's no real like universal kind of emotion. Yeah. So that's when we're like, how do we dig into this more? How do we like get to the meat of why it's hard? And so like, you just really have to talk that through, and you have to challenge yourself to be self-aware and know that like, it's kind of basic, you know, like that's, it's just how far do you want to push it and how long do you want to push it for? And for me, I'm just like, I don't care if this gets zero hits, but I know in my heart, like if we just said posting is hard, it would be, I don't know. I feel like it would fall flat. I would just be bored. So it's kind of just up to you guys. And then everybody, you know, has to, at that point, just be honest and just be like, yeah, that's not that, that's not that interesting.
Yeah, it's true. I love how you also said you work backwards. You like, you know what your goal is and you kind of work backwards. Maybe taking this little meta, do you also do that in your own life? Do you set goals for yourself? Do you do these wildly important goals, the wigs or the BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goals? Are those things you do for yourself, your business, things like that?
I do. I think now they're kind of like, you know, they're a little all over the place. I think actually Girl Boss kind of like came into my world and kind of took over a little bit. But I mean, I use Notion, and I have like this kind of bullet journal-esque, like, oh yeah, you guys love a Notion?
Love a Notion.
I have this video that I did about how I use Notion, and it's essentially, because I don't like to bullet journal, but I like the concept of, of it. And so I made like a Notion that looks, that's kind of like got that same concept. But I can send you guys a link.
We'll love that.
I think people would love to listen to that. People like want to get organized. I know for me, I'm like, kind of 3 years ago, I'm like, okay, I want to get my shit together. I wanted to, but I'm like, okay, where do I start? There's like so many things out there. You don't really know where to begin. So I think resources like that, videos, kind of tutorials to sort of take you through, and then you take your own spin on that. Like you said, you don't like bullet journaling, but you did like your own spin. I think those are really helpful.
Yeah.
Right. I love that. I think shifting gears slightly, I would love to learn more. One of the first statements I remember reading of yours back in December was this idea of there isn't one version of success. And I think that really resonated with me, especially the second semester. We're both in our first year of college. So definitely repeating myself, that sentence helped a lot. I would love to know, what's your current definition of success? Do you define it? Do you have a definition?
I think right now, my definition, it's so interesting too, by because I'm asking this question to like women from all sorts of situations every week. And so like now my definition of success changes so often. I'm like, oh my God, yes. That one's really good. I think that it's kind of twofold. One is I want to be able to figure out how to insert my personality into my work and be able to like just constantly work on that. Like I love it and I hate it at the same time, but it's just, it's very fulfilling for me to like see that my personality is a plus in my work, which, you know, it just seems so obvious. Like if you're like an extroverted person, like, yeah, duh. But it's like, how do you do that without feeling cringy about yourself, you know? And I think that that is like me just trying to work through all of those different nuances of like, for example, today we were editing a video and I was like, whoa, I'm coming off a little aggro and I'm coming off a little obnoxious. And I was just like, ugh, I don't like that. And so, you know, I was just like trying to unpack, like, why was I even like that? What can I do to prevent that next time? What are the things about that that is not approachable and friendly and fun? And so that's kind of like the personal stuff. And then in terms of like fulfillment, I feel like actually trying to help people see their most potential has been really, really fulfilling. And it's not easy. I think it's like one of those things that like I can't force you to see your potential. You just have to constantly be there. So I think it's like trying to figure out how to do that through our online courses, through content that I create, through podcasts, whatever. But yeah, that's like the second side of it.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's hard too when you're trying to help people find their potential. There's only so much you can tell someone for them. They have to believe it themselves, for sure. Mm-hmm. On the flip side of success, we love to ask our podcast guests, what is your definition of failure? How do you define failure in both your workplace and in your personal life?
Oh, I think it's not ignoring like your self-agency and your self-awareness. And I did it before because I just kind of didn't want to like deal with my stuff, or I would just prioritize other things, or I would, for example, like in my old job, you know, we would have performance reviews. So I wouldn't really like check in with myself until like, you know, the next quarter or whatever. I think that's kind of a disservice to yourself. I mean, I wouldn't call that like a failure, but like you're just not allowing yourself to try other things and to iterate on yourself and your ideas and what you want. So yeah, I mean, I don't ever want to be in a situation again where I do that, but I know that that's probably going to happen because like you can't always see it if you can't see it. But I do try to be as self-aware as possible. It's just, you know, you just have to like try every day.
So important. even just speaking to you now, but also since listening to all your past podcasts, most recently, the amazing one you did with the girl boss who was in marketing. She worked at a bunch of different firms like
Trelawney.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's so cool. Oh, she's so cool. I like reached out to her on LinkedIn immediately. I was like, you're so cool. I'm a fan. Everyone. Also, though, her name escapes you now. This was from last week. She owns the olive oil brand. And then when I heard about like the freaking olive oil that they have like dead bugs sometimes in, I was like, oh my God, clearing all the olive oil. That hit me. I love olive oil. I put olive oil in everything. But something that you just completely emulate, and like just even visually looking at you, like you glow, you're a glowing person, post personality wise, you're proud of who you are. And I was wondering if you've always been like this, how you kind of came to that. And even speaking to you now, you said you insert your personality in your business. And some people feel really hesitant to do that because they're not really confident in themselves. Maybe they're confident like in their skills. Okay, I know I can code well. I know I can graphic design well, but like me, myself, they don't want to see me. So how'd you get to this place of like self-awareness, that you're self-confident, that people love your personality, people want to resonate with that? How was that journey for you?
I definitely was shy when I was an only child. So, you know, all those only children out there, we don't really blossom. I don't know. I mean, there's probably some only children that are like all sorts of out there when they're young, but I was definitely more shy. I think that I became not shy when I got in trouble when I was really young. I was like in high school. And actually, no, I was in eighth grade. Oh my God, I was such a baby. I was this baby and I got in trouble and my parents had me move in with my grandparents. So I had to move schools when you're in eighth grade. And
the worst time.
Not it.
Don't even, you know, I mean, that taught me. But I ended up going to Flower Mound in Dallas. And I think I was like, there's like maybe three Asians. It's like maybe one black kid there. But so I already kind of felt like people were definitely like looking at me. But they weren't really, you know, I mean, everybody actually was pretty nice. Like I was fortunate. I never got bullied. But I remember at that like fourth period or whatever period it was before lunch. And I was like, I have to make a friend. I cannot sit at lunch by myself. Like, this is not going to happen, because if that's going to happen, it's going to happen every day after that. That's what I thought in my head. Probably overdramatic, but so I went to this one girl right before. She just kind of looked at me. And I was like, hi, Can I sit with you at lunch?
Do it.
And then I was just like totally self-deprecating at that point. I was like, I'm so sorry. I know that sounds crazy. I just moved here. I don't know anyone. I really just don't want to sit by myself at lunch. And she was like, oh yeah, that's fine. She was really awkward though, because I was, you know, I was a weirdo, like, but she still was like, okay. So it was good. It was really, really good. And I think from there, I just realized, just smile and say hi. And that is like half of the battle. And then the rest of it is just, if you feel them being awkward or you're being awkward, just say it so that we can clear the air.
Yeah.
100%.
And then move forward. And I think because I had to do that, and then I had to do it again because I had to move back home. So I moved high schools. Mm-hmm. So it was another thing, but I knew all I had to do was say hi and just smile. And I mean, you could ask one of my best friends from high school, but she's like, yeah, Puno is the person who would just talk to anybody. And it's true. I was lunch table agnostic. I'd sit at every table. I didn't care who you were, if you were, you know, super popular, if you were super shy, like I'd always try to find something interesting to talk to you about. And I think that I always just kind of gave people the benefit of the doubt, like that, whatever, if they're shy, that's like, so was I, you know, like that's not a big deal. There's got to be something interesting about you, you know?
Yeah. I remember my college counselor in high school said, if you think someone else is boring, that's because you're boring. Like, there's no such thing as boring people. Like, if you think you're boring, you're a boring person. I was like, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, and then, you know, I also think too that I'm half Filipino. My mom is Korean, but she's like the kind of person who would talk to like anybody. So even though I was shy at first, I was 100% exposed to people that were really funny, that were self-deprecating. Like my family would always just like joke on me. And I think I just like was in that world a lot. So that I benefited a lot from that for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Your talk about in eighth grade moving and then talking to that one girl and saying hi unlocked so many memories. I moved schools 6 times, I think, so far. Every school, hi, can I sit with you, please? Or like they'll make eye contact and you're like, this is the one. And then like I latched.
You latch it.
Someone made eye contact with me. Today is the day.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, but you have to like have the eyes there.
And they can move.
Yeah.
You gotta be bold. You gotta be, listen, you're going to lunch, I'm going to lunch, I'm a human, you're a human, let's do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but as we begin to wrap up the podcast, we love to ask our podcast guests, what is one thing you loved about yourself today?
Oh my God. I think what happened today? I'm all like, what day is it? Oh, I had a really interesting interview today with Ann Roberts. She's the chief people officer at Flow, the period app.
No way.
Yeah. And I think I was just really excited because I love talking to employees at companies. I don't, you know, entrepreneurs are awesome. They're really cool. Yeah. But like the employees that actually move companies and grow companies and scale companies and are, you know, willing to fix the problems within companies and be change agents, like they are so much more interesting sometimes than the actual founder. And I feel like Anne was such a great example of that because just the way that she thinks about human resources, how she thinks about benefits, what she thinks about, you know, hiring, it all affects like thousands of people, you know, it doesn't just affect the people that work at Flow, but it affects their families. It affects their kids. It affects everything and affects the users at the end of the day. So yeah, I think it was just a really nice reminder. And I feel like all we're doing at Girl Boss right now, or at least my goal with our team, is kind of to do these like PSAs of like, you should think about your period and employees matter too. And so yeah, it was like, it was a nice checkbox today.
That's wonderful. Sort of in a similar realm, we'd love to ask you, what is something that you're grateful for today?
Oh, I feel super grateful for just like some of the people that I work with are, we're so aligned and we're really, and it's so fun. Like today I was talking to two people who I found on Instagram and they helped me build out our courses and we build out these 3D worlds with, you know, like we have this Quokka avatar that like will dissolve into bubbles and like go into another portal. And it's for this personal finance course that we're creating, but it's just like so fun to make things with them. And it's like, you know, when someone says you have to hire someone who's like better than you or whatever, like this is like a true moment of that with these guys, because the way that they design, the way that they think is just like so creative and super cool. So it's like, just, it was so fun to have that conversation today.
You do love creatives.
Yeah. I love creatives. Yeah. I know. It's so funny when people tell me that. They're like, no, I love creatives.
Like, I've heard it. Like, I love creatives. Those twice times now. Yeah,
I love them. Also, I love Cuocos. I'm so glad you chose those as your
main. Oh, you know what it is?
Cuoco Daily Show on Instagram. Give them a shout out. They're my favorite.
There's a Cuoco Daily Show? Is that what it's called? Cuoco? I thought it was Cuoca.
Oh, maybe it's Cuoca. I have the worst pronunciation of everything. I was on debate for like 4 years and I could not pronounce inevitable. I would say inevitable.
Oh my gosh. The word. I got called out. So I say words wrong all the time. Like I used to say especially all the time. And our producer was like, especially. And I'm like, I like especially.
I like that too. It has more of a ring to it.
Oh my God. The Cuoco Daily Show. Get out.
I know. It brings me so much joy.
Look at this son of a bitch. Oh my God, he's so cute.
My favorite is that one of my, like, he's like a manly man. Like, he's on D1 Princeton fencing team. And I show him Cuoco's, like, I send him, like, on Insta DMs, and he melts. He's like, oh my goodness, the Cuoco's. And I'm like, yes, I agree.
The little tongue, it's always that. And like the eyes are so close together. Oh my God. Just a phenomenal animal.
10 out of 10. Agreed. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank you. Speak soon.
Bye.
Bye.
That wraps it up for today's podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you learned a lot about Puno and how you can stay authentic and make success in your own way.
Thank you so much to Stephanie Lee and Bailey Cherry as our amazing podcast producers too.
Check out our past episodes and look out for our upcoming episodes featuring inspiring female entrepreneurs through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening to this podcast now.
To stay updated and involved, join the Entrepreneurs Podcast community on our Instagram and LinkedIn to share with us your very own entrepreneurial journey. Please also view our website, theentrepreneursnetwork.com.